You had you a buddy there for a second, Chief, McMurphy whispered and rolled over to sleep. I couldn't sleep much the rest of the night, and I kept seeing those yellow teeth and that guy's hungry face, asking to look me, look me. Or finally, as I did get to sleep, just asking. That face, just a yellow, starved need, come looming out of the dark in front of me, wanting things, asking things. I wondered how McMurphy slept, plagued by 100 faces like that, or 200, or 1,000. They've got an alarm on disturbed to wake the patients. They don't just turn on the lights like downstairs. This alarm sounds like a gigantic pencil sharpener grinding up something awful. McMurphy and I both sat bolt upright when we heard it and were about to lie back down when a loudspeaker called for the two of us to come to the nurse's station. I got out of bed and my back had stiffened up overnight to where I could just barely bend. I could tell by the way McMurphy gimped around that he was as stiff as I was. "What they got on the program for us now, Chief?" he asked. "The boot? The rack? I hope nothing too strenuous because, man, I am stove up bad." I told him it wasn't strenuous, but I didn't tell him anything else because I wasn't sure myself till I got to the nurse's station and the nurse, a different one, said, "Mr. McMurphy and Mr. Bromden," then handed us each a little paper cup. I look in mine and there are three of those red capsules. This zing whirs in my head. I can't stop. "Hold on," McMurphy says. "Those are knockout pills, aren't they?" The nurse nods, twists her head to check behind her. There's two guys waiting with ice tongs, hunched forward with their elbows linked. McMurphy hands back the cup, says, "No, sir, ma'am, but I'll forego the blindfold. Could use a cigarette, though." I hand mine back, too, and she says she must phone, and she slips the glass door across between us, is at the phone before anybody can say anything else. "I'm sorry if I got you into something, Chief," McMurphy says, and I barely can hear him over the noise of the phone wires whistling in the walls. I can feel the scared downhill rush of thoughts in my head. We're sitting in the day room, those faces around us in a circle, when in the door comes the big nurse herself, the two big black boys on each side, a step behind her. I try to shrink down in my chair, away from her, but it's too late. Too many people looking at me. Sticky eyes hold me where I sit. "Good morning," she says. Got her old smile back now. McMurphy says good morning, and I keep quiet even though she says good morning to me too, out loud. I'm watching the black boys. One has tape on his nose and his arm in a sling, gray hand dribbling out of the cloth like a drowned spider, and the other is moving like he's got some kind of cast around his ribs. They're both grinning a little. Probably could have stayed home with their hurts, but wouldn't miss this for nothing. I grin back just to show them.